Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. Today's guests are artists organizing to spark discourse and new forms, and helping us reimagine how to create a better world through creative political action. A group of Bay Area artists created 100 Days Action to counter the Trump administration's 100-day plan. They publish daily creative acts of resistance, from sharing your immigration story to sending postcards to the White House. Their website says, 100 Days Action is a forum for resistance, an artistic coming together, an exercise in endurance, a call to all bodies that stand against bigotry, xenophobia, racism, sexism, and the destruction of our environment to act together. San Francisco's Z-Space Theater has hosted a reading of the Constitution, and they've launched a postcard campaign in response to possible cuts to the National Endowment of the Arts. And in New York, artists created Four Freedoms, the first artist-run super PAC to create political ads. One billboard that went up a couple of weeks before the election day in Pearl, Mississippi, read, "Make America Great Again," with an image of unarmed civil rights activists facing off with Alabama state troopers. The billboard caused some confusion, as you can imagine, about the message's intent. And that's the point, to inspire critical discourse. So how are artists sparking conversations and organizing? Joining us to talk about how artists are helping us imagine and create a better future are three guests. Katina Papson-Rigby is with 100 Days Action, a counter-narrative to the Trump administration's 100-day plan. Today's Action is a pen pal project connecting people across the political spectrum. To participate, you must commit to correspond three times with someone who feels differently about Donald Trump than you do. And we'll talk about that later in the show. You can find information about how you can sign up at yourcallradio.org. Katina is an interdisciplinary artist and an educator based here in San Francisco, and she joins us here in studio. Hi, Katina. Thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Lisa Steinler has served as executive artistic director of Z-Space for the past 10 years. Z-Space hosts new works for a variety of performance disciplines year-round. Lisa has produced over 40 world premiere productions. The newest production, The Town Hall Affair, runs from April 6th to 16th. The play is based on the film Town Bloody Hall, which documents a rowdy 1971 debate on women's liberation at Town Hall in New York City. And Lisa also joins us in studio. Hi, Lisa. Thank you for coming in.
Hi, Rose. Thanks for having me.
And Wyatt Gallery is executive director of Four Freedoms, the first artist-run super PAC. Wyatt is also an award-winning photographer who uses his photos to raise awareness and support for communities damaged by natural disasters. His photo books, Tent Life Haiti and Hashtag Sandy, generated over $50,000 to support communities in Haiti and New York City. And Wyatt joins us from the Argo Studios in New York. Hi, Wyatt. Thank you for joining us.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you. Well, great to have all of you. And these shows, I think, are just so important, especially right now. And I want to ask you all how your work has really been affected, not only by the Trump administration, but just by the current state of world affairs. Katina, how has it affected your work? Because you're an artist also. You're an educator. You teach students.
Yes. I think I began as an artist and entered arts education. And then I believe by being mentored by some incredible activist educators, became activated as an artist activist. And I try not to compartmentalize any of those identities. Yeah. And I think that currently, well, I joke that I divorced the art world and stayed in education, mm-hmm. because that's where I felt I was actually making a difference. And it felt trite and unimportant to make objects. And I was just more concerned with helping young people to get their voices out and help them to feel sort of engaged and activated in a community. And that, you know, the last time I think I had my work in a gallery was maybe about 8 years ago. Mm-hmm. And the election happened. We were all shocked, and in my close-knit community. And my husband, who is a documentary filmmaker, received an email from friends saying, "We're just going to meet in Dolores Park. We need to do something." And we have this frame of 100 days that's a very performative frame. Jeremiah Barber and Ingrid Rojas Contreras were the ones who sent the email. And my husband said, well, I'm making a film about DACA and Sanctuary right now. I'm embedded in community. Mm. And I think maybe this is your reentry. Mm. And it was. We went to Dolores Park with our daughter. She played around. I sat down with a group of people I'd never met before that were connected to my husband and said, oh, well, what do you have in mind? And that was my reentry point. And I think the curatorial work that we've been doing, the opportunities we're trying to give other artists to have voice and connect with one another, the network that we're building, the hub that we've created is the work. That is my current creative work.
And again, Katina is with 100 Days Action, and they've got really great projects you can do every day, whether it's read a poem or embroider a message to someone that you admire, someone who's doing something politically. And today's action, and we'll talk about this later, I really like this. It's a pen pal action connecting you with people across the political spectrum. And you can participate. You have to commit to correspond 3 times with someone who feels differently about Donald Trump than you do. And we'll talk about this later, but when I first read it, I thought, I'm going to write someone and put in a bunch of articles and maybe a book or two or three. I think it's a great idea. What about you, Lisa? You're Executive Artistic Director of Z-Space. You've been there for the past 10 years. And you all do really amazing things because you give new artists a voice. You host new plays. Yeah. And so how has what we're facing right now changed the way you deal with your work?
I think what we're grappling with to some extent is putting the work that we have decided on putting on the stage a year ago, because, you know, you plan a year out or 18 months, and talking about the context of the work in the world we live today. And part of that is looking at the Town Hall Affair, which is coming up. It opens previews tonight, actually. This is a piece that's based on a 1971 film made by D.A. Pennybaker and Chris Hegedus. And it's a documentary about a town hall meeting, 1971. It was a debate with critic Diana Trilling, feminist Germaine Greer, and radical lesbian Jill Johnston. And Norman Mailer was acting as a moderator for this piece. And it's unbelievable how relevant and how pertinent and how timely it is today, 46 years or 47 years later, that we're actually still having these same conversations and fights for women's rights and liberation. So it's a very timely piece, even some, you know, close to 50 years later.
Yeah, and it opens on Thursday.
It does. We have our first preview tonight, and it opens on Saturday and runs through the 16th.
So okay.
It's
and
a
there's,
quick run.
And there's going to be a talk back.
There is. We're doing a talk back, I believe, on Friday night. We'll have a talk back with the cast. It's the Worcester Group from New York, which is one of the oldest experimental groups in the country and highly acclaimed. The piece was written, it's directed by Liz LeCompte, and the cast and Liz will be at a talk back on Friday night. I think we're going to do another one next week. We just haven't decided when. But we want to have those conversations, the hard ones.
It's shocking, really. You talk about how the conversation that was had 46 years ago is still pertinent today. And you can't keep up with everything that's going on. But one thing I wanted to read more extensively about, the New York Times had a piece about the Trump administration informing Congress on Monday that it had terminated United States funding for the UN Population Fund. Yeah. This is the world's leading provider of family planning services, including contraception to women in at least 155 countries.
It's despicable. I don't even know what to say about it. It's so every single day we all turn on the television or the radio and it is breaking news every single day. And how do you keep up with it and how do you keep sane? You know, you and I were talking right before we went on air about, to me, theater and art is a sanctuary. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have declared our space as a sanctuary, as the city has declared it, the city as a sanctuary. And that's a very important place to enter into and to have these hard discussions and to feel like you belong to the fabric of this community at this time, which, frankly, I feel alienated from this country right now. And how do you grapple with that?
Lisa Steinler is Executive Artistic Director of Z-Space, and you can find more information about the Town Hall Affair at yourcallradio.org. And what about you, Wyatt? You're Executive Director of Four Freedoms. I love this idea. It's the first artist-run super PAC, And you and your artist friends decided to create this to encourage artists to get involved in politics.
Yes, we started last year when my good friends Hank Willis Thomas and Eric Gottesman had the idea to start a super PAC led by artists and use art to create more critical dialogue within political discourse. So we did that by first raising money, like a super PAC would, and then partnering with acclaimed artists to put out billboards, bus benches, and different activations with other companies and organizations throughout the U.S. so that we could see if art could have a new impact on the conversation within politics and, you know, follow what is the biggest form of communication in our country, which is advertising. So how could we combine that with art and instead of telling people what to think, asking questions?
Hmm. And Wyatt, you do really incredible work. You're a photographer. You use your photos to raise awareness and support for communities that have been damaged by natural disasters. So, for example, Haiti, one of your books is called Tent Life Haiti. How has this election and just the state of what we're dealing with right now affected the way you see your work and just what you choose to focus on?
Well, I think for all of us in Four Freedoms, we all feel more urgency right now and more need right now, where we can't just stand by and say, hey, someone needs to do something about this. Mm. You know, we've realized that we are all the people that need to do something about this. In the past, I never had a plan or a goal to get into philanthropic work with my photography. It was just one day seeing the tsunami on the news and realizing I need to do something. I can help in some way. And truthfully, my first attempts failed. And that led me to going to actually photograph firsthand in Sri Lanka, which then led to New Orleans and Haiti and Sandy. It was never something that I had planned to do, but I felt a calling and a need, and that's the same way that we all feel now. And I think many people that have not been involved in politics in the U.S. now feel that they have a duty to be more involved, to have a voice, and to get others to step up and have a voice.
And Katina, earlier you said that you decided to stop making objects and to teach because you felt that made more of a mark and really made a difference. And before the show, we were talking about why it is that some artists decide to speak about politics, say something political, and others don't. And I'm much more conscious of this lately, whether it's going to live music or theater or dance. And can you talk about what conversations you're having with artist friends about that and about making a decision to be overtly political?
Sure. I don't know that there was ever a point that I decided to be overtly political. And I think at 100 Days Action, we're such a mixed group. It's great to hear Wyatt's perspective because that's much of the narrative that I think I heard as a contemporary artist. And those were the artists that I gravitated towards, who were mindful of the impact that their art could make on a community, and particularly a struggling community. I did create a piece for 100 Days Action that is an opportunity for dialogue. It's called The Values Vault, and it's a wall safe, and it's in the gallery, and folks are basically charged to fill out a deposit slip of their values and share their email with me, and we lock it away, and I have about 150 now. I'll be in dialogue with those folks in a year. So my goal is to re-engage with them to see if they've compromised their values in any way and for what reasons. I think we have to take the long view and we have to be flexible. And So conversations like this happen at 100 days. We meet on Sundays. I joke that it's church because we really are a community, and we've created a congregation that's larger than 100 days. And that was our goal, was to decenter our voices and create opportunities for as many voices as possible, so that we can be louder. Mm-hmm. And that narrative is definitely an inspiration to more people, and more people, and more people begin coming in. So I'm not sure if I answered your question.
Lisa, what would you add? I mean, what's interesting about Z Space, I remember seeing the play about solitary confinement.
Uh-huh, The Box.
The Box, and it was amazing. I think the most powerful part about that was just being around people and feeling the energy and the shock, and then going into a cell with other people and talking to them about it. So it was nice to interact with people.
Yeah. Well, I think that's part of being I think that's what we've been trying to do, at least at Z Space. I consider ourselves kind of the town hall of theater, where we have a big lobby and we have a bar. My hope is that people communicate with one another, that they come to the theater early, they talk with one another about the show they're going to see, about the politics, about what's happening in San Francisco. And they stay after and continue that conversation, that we push each other to be vocal, to be provocative, to unite, and to have a voice, because this is the time more than ever. I've never felt politically driven, per se. Now, for the first time in my life, I feel there is a fire underneath of me and inside my belly, and I am not going to be quiet. And I want people to join me and San Francisco and California and in the United States to really start pushing it and to come up with a plan and not let up, because we cannot let up. We can't.
Wyatt, what would you add?
Well, I mean, I totally agree with what Lisa's saying, and I think that the two projects that I'm hearing about are great because they're creating a lot of empathy.
Yeah.
I think that we have a lack of empathy in our country right now. We all need to start to understand what the so-called other is feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that people, if they have any feeling of a desire to get involved, I would actually say don't come up with a plan. Mm. Just get started. Just take one step forward and then start figuring out a plan as you go. Because I mean, that's what we did with Four Freedoms. We had an idea. We figured out how can we just get this started. We started telling people about it before we even had everything figured out and before we had money raised or abilities to do things. And I think that everyone has great ideas. Everyone is able to help and make a difference. And you just need to take one step towards that, and the rest will start figuring itself out.
Wyatt Gallery is the executive director of Four Freedoms. It's the first artist-run super PAC. They're encouraging artists to get involved in the political process. Wyatt is also an award-winning photographer, and you can see his work at yourcallradio.org. Lisa Steinler is executive artistic director of Z Space, and the Town Hall Affair runs from April 6th to the 16th. The play is based on the film Town Bloody Hall, which documents a rowdy 1971 debate on women's liberation at Town Hall in New York City. And Katina Papson Rigby is with 100 Days Action, a counter-narrative to the Trump administration's 100-day plan. There are really great daily projects you can get involved with. Today's Action is a pen pal project connecting people across the political spectrum. And if you'd like to join us, you can give us a call at 866-798-8255. If you're an artist or if you have a creative outlet, how are you using your creative mind to raise awareness about issues or engage in politics? And also, if you are not an artist, how do you think art, what role do you want artists to play right now? I got to say, speaking personally, I've been trying to go see as many plays and dance performances and live music as possible just to kind of disconnect and breathe for an hour or two and not really think about all of this. Well, political art is amazing, though. Right. I mean, it's very inspiring. Like Dance Mission, the Dance Brigade, and they've been doing some amazing work the last couple of weeks. I mean, they're incredible. But if you have any suggestions for art groups, events that are coming up. We'd love to hear from you. 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. We are lucky, even though artists are constantly struggling to make ends meet, we've got so many theater groups, bands, amazing art groups in the Bay Area. And we always like to open the lines to give people a shout out who are doing great work. Let's hear from John in San Francisco. Hi, John. Welcome to the show.
Hi, yes. Thank you for this great topic. It reminds me kind of this iconic image I recently came across of Woody Guthrie holding his guitar, and on the instrument he painted the words, "This machine kills fascists." And I really believe that art can move the needle of our culture and make positive change, and we really need it right now, and I could really relate to everything that's been said. I'm a graphic designer, and I wanted here in San Francisco, I wanted to quickly share a story about a grassroots volunteer art and design project that I started. And it's a large and growing archive of resist posters, illustrations, and clip art, and it's all loaded up on a website, which is essentially a free stock art website for the Trump resistance movement. And the website is called freetheresistance.org. And I really just got it up last week. It's fully functional, and I'm still expanding it, but it has about 50 images up right now so far. But I created this platform as a resource for any concerned individual or group, and it shares at no cost professional quality, downloadable, print-ready visual communications that express resistance to the policies of Trump and the alt-right. And for me, I started this as just a cathartic experience. I was freaked out by the election. I just started designing posters, and I wasn't sure exactly where it was going to go. I ended up coming up with the idea of this platform. Like I said, right now it has about 50 images up. We also have a crowdsource function, so it allows other designers and illustrators to submit their original resist artwork, which we will add to the mix. I just wanted to kind of, that's one way that I could do it. I don't have, there's certain, the skills that I have is I could design and create things and try to bring people together, and so that's how I'm using it.
I love this, John. In fact, we just moved into our refurbished studios, and we need more art for our walls. And so I love the one you have, especially with the typewriter that says "Defend Our Free Press." So I'm definitely going to download a few of these. There's another one of Kellyanne Conway saying, "Don't worry, Donnie, we'll just make up alternative facts." There's some fun ones in here and some serious ones. So thank you so much for calling in, John, and we'll add a link to our website.
I appreciate it. And then also I would encourage if any artists are out there, if they have any resist art they would like to upload, we'd really appreciate more involvement.
Is there a way we can order actual posters?
I actually have limited runs. I'm in San Francisco. I have a studio in San Francisco, so I have some stuff here, posters and stickers, but I'm not selling them. I mean, originally my idea was I'd make stuff and then sell them and have the proceeds go to the ACLU or whatever, but it became too complicated, so I said I'm just going to give them away for free.
Wow.
As a sort of more DIY-type social experiment. And they have been, it's been kind of under the radar. I really am just kind of getting the word out of it right now. But a lot of people are downloading. We've had hundreds of downloads already. And we also have links to places where you can have them printed. And we have instructions on how you could DIY print them on just even a home personal printer.
Great. Well, thank you so much. It's freetheresistance.org. Katina, again, what I love about this is it's a way for people to get involved, and it's free.
Yes, and I have a suggestion for John. If he wants to come by the Yerba Buena Center for the Arts, 100 Days Action is going into residency there now. We're about to install.
Oh, great.
Right now, we might be installing
my
crew. The rest of 100 days is we're in the process. Lots of late night and early morning emails back and forth getting organized. But we'll be there this weekend, and we have a sort of free table. So, John, if you've got a small business card with your link, it's the kind of thing that we would love to put on the table so that folks who come through the museum can grab and benefit. It's a wonderful project.
Great. Thank you, John. So 100 Days Action, that's going to be at Yerba Buena Center?
Yes. We've designed a 24-hour resistance gym.
Oh, wow.
In the front of the front gallery sort of cafe area. There'll be a warm-up station to exercise your tear ducts with the New York Times and the Onion. that you can grate and while you're reading. Light cardio yoga for protests, high intensity interval cardio, call your estranged loved one, a pedestal with a telephone and tissue box and some script things you can say, ideas on the wall, weight training, pull your weight. We're having a really good time. There's writers in our group, you know, and conceptual artists, performance artists. We're such a mixed crew, and I identify more as a performance artist. I think maybe that was influenced. Mm. I started as a photographer like Wyatt and then have moved more into performance and interdisciplinary media work. And interactive work. So we're, you know, with all of our heads together, we had a really good time thinking about, or as the head, the 100 days are ending, how can we endure?
Right.
How can we continue and maintain the pace? Because I hear people, all of you, everyone, you know, John has so much energy, excited to do things, but, you know, we're in it for the long haul. This is a stretch, right? It's a long stretch. And we were talking about children as well when we think about our timeline versus their timeline. The choices that are being made by the administration, the ripple effects of them, generations to come. Yep. It's really hard to understand how long this is going to really impact us. So we you know, are wanting to inspire people to think about that. Self-care is collective care. You take the time you need. You know, I was joking with some USF students the other night. I was on a panel with a couple of other 100 Days folks, and we were talking about this topic. And I said, go get some coffee, take a bath, and then get right back out there, because you're not allowed, really. And there are some people, many people in our world, particular people, and particularly people in oppressed groups and marginalized identities, they're not allowed to choose. They can't choose. Mm-hmm. They are who they are in the world, and there are systems in place that are not allowing them to have the freedoms that they deserve. So if you have privilege, to know your privilege, to understand it, and then continue. Mm-hmm.
Katina Papson-Rigby is with 100 Days Action, a counter-narrative to the Trump administration's 100-day plan and the various artwork that they have been doing over the last, I think it's 77 days now, I've been counting, will be at the Yerba Buena Center for the Arts soon?
This weekend we open on Sunday.
Oh, that's great. Opens on Sunday. Elisa Steinler has served as Executive Artistic Director of Z-Space for the past 10 years. Wyatt Gallery is Executive Director for Four Freedoms, the first artist-run super PAC. Today we are talking about how artists are organizing to spark discourse and help us reimagine how to create a better world through creative political action. This is Your Call, and we'll be back after this.
This is Your Call on KALW, local public radio. If you have a perspective that you haven't heard in today's discussion or a question that you feel needs to be answered, please join the conversation by calling 866-798-8255. 866-798-TALK, toll free. You can also send an email to feedback@yourcallradio.org or post a comment or question at the show's website, yourcallradio.org. Or tweet us at yourcallradio. Coming up at 11 from WBUR in Boston and new to our KLW lineup, On Point with your host Tom Ashbrook. Stay with us.
This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Coming up tomorrow, it is our media roundtable. We'll be discussing Donald Trump's visit with Egypt's President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi. He is being condemned for detaining tens of thousands of activists and journalists. And then we'll also discuss media coverage of life in coal country. Trump continues to promise to rescue the coal industry and bring back jobs. There have been some really good reports lately about what life is like in coal country, and another one about dismal working conditions at auto parts plants in the South. So we'll be talking about that tomorrow. And if you have a show idea or a guest idea, you can drop us a line, feedback at your yourcallradio.org. Today we're speaking with artists who are organizing to spark discourse and help us reimagine how to create a better world. Katina Papson-Rigby is with 100 Days Action, a counter-narrative to the Trump administration's 100-day plan. And this weekend, the art that they've been creating will be on display at the Yerba Buena Center for the Arts in San Francisco. Lisa Steinler has served as Executive Artistic Director of Z-Space for the past 10 years. And I hope you can check out their new play, The Town Hall Affair. It runs from April 6th to the 16th. It's based on the film Town Bloody Hall, which documents a rowdy 1971 debate on women's liberation at Town Hall in New York City. And Wyatt Gallery is executive director of Four Freedoms, the first artist-run super PAC. And they have created this to encourage artists to get involved in the political process. And before we get to calls, Wyatt, I wanted to ask you, how are you working with artists to engage them in the political process?
Well, in the past, we've invited artists to partner with us, for example, on the billboards. We launched Four Freedoms by having an exhibition at the Jack Shaiman Gallery in New York City. And so we actually had two gallery spaces filled with over 60 artists. So that was the first step in engaging artists. Then the billboards and other interactive actions, such as creating what looks like political yard signs, but are posters and at times actual yard signs. But we invite different people at events to write what they believe in, you know, what freedoms are important to them on these yard signs. So the artists is the first step, but getting more people to interact and have a voice is the second step.
And tell us about the billboard that went up a couple weeks before the election in Pearl, Mississippi. And it's really amazing. You can see this billboard at yourcallradio.org. In fact, it is the photo that we chose for today's show. And the billboard reads, actually, no, we chose a different photo, but a couple of them are up there. The one that I'd like you to talk about is Make America Great Again, and it's an image of unarmed civil rights protesters facing off with Alabama state troopers. And this ran in Pearl, Mississippi, and it caused a bit of confusion about the message's intent. Tell us about that.
Yes. I mean, this was one of 13 billboards that we put up throughout the U.S., where we combined artwork from one artist with copy text that we either generated or, in this case, Trump generated. And the billboards, like I said before, they ask questions instead of giving an answer. So they're a little vague at times. And because of that, they can be read in different ways, even if it's not the way that we intended it to be. And in this small town of Pearl, Mississippi, it caused a lot of outrage because some people felt that it was a real billboard by Trump supporters saying that pre-civil rights is when America was great again, great, and that this would be making great again, make America great again by going back to those days. And what we were asking originally was, what is Trump talking about? When is this time when America was greater than it is now? And another meaning that came from it was protest and standing up for justice is making America great. So in order to make America great again now, more people need to stand up for justice for everyone. And it's not about standing up for just what I believe in. It's standing up for freedom for all people. Whether you personally believe in it or not, we live in a country where we believe in freedom for all citizens.
Did you hear from people in Pearl, Mississippi?
Oh, yes.
What did you hear?
Well, it started, we were actually in South Africa at the time when the controversy started. And it started by me receiving voicemails that were very threatening. People saying they're going to come to New York and show us what racism is about.
Wow.
And truthfully, we are a diverse group ethnically, and there were assumptions that this was just a group of white people putting up a racist message, which was very far from the truth, and it was hurtful to receive those messages. But I guess, you know, that's part of this process. Then we started receiving emails, lots of emails that were, you know, kind of hate emails. And then there were tons of comments online. And then the press got a hold of it. And then the governor demanded that the billboard be taken down.
Wow.
So it's now in the MoMA PS1 building as part of our residency there. And you can go online still and look at, if you, you know, Google it, you will see all the various comments that we received. And truthfully, to me, that's the best part of this piece, is people commenting and not everyone agreeing, but hopefully at least some people listening to the other side and, you know, being open to changing their perspective.
You can see that billboard at yourcallradio.org. Again, it ran in Pearl, Mississippi, a couple weeks before the election. It's an image of unarmed civil rights protesters facing off with Alabama state troopers. And in big block letters, it says, "Make America Great Again."
Could I ask
Pretty powerful, please.
Wyatt a question?
Yeah.
Hi, Wyatt. This is Katina.
Hi.
I'm curious. The dialogue, I've been in scenarios like that before where I've received hate emails and hate calls around work. And I'm curious if your group, if For Freedoms, ever thought about having a town hall of sorts around the billboard to engage without the physical distance, without the technological barrier, and just being in a physical room. I know there's always issues with trying to coordinate those sorts of things, but I'm curious if it came up in conversation and what you all might have talked about around that possibility.
Yeah, that's actually one of the main things we learned from this, was that in the future when we do billboards, we will also want to do a town hall in that community. So that the comments can be in person and the discussion can be in person and not just the, you know, hidden behind the internet. So moving forward, we do plan to always do a town hall with a billboard, as well as when we do other exhibitions, town halls will be a part of the exhibitions. We have been doing town halls, but we haven't done them all the time in conjunction with the, you know, the actual art actions that we've put up. So, yeah, I appreciate that feedback. We did reach out to some of the people that commented, some of the people that called especially, and through long conversations with them, we both were able to learn something new and to see a different perspective and, you know, to kind of expand our awareness from that. So I personally really believe in listening, and that we all need to do more listening.
It would be amazing to do this in Pearl. I was just curious about where it is in Mississippi. It's right outside of Jackson, the capital, and its population 25,000. It'd be incredible to do a town hall there. We actually have a related question on this issue about talking to each other. Let's go to Lee in Berkeley. Hi, Lee. Welcome to the show.
Hi, I appreciate knowing about the Four Freedoms and other activities that your guests are engaged in, but I feel like this dialogue is really a kind of an echo chamber, and I'm very glad to hear that you're going to do town halls. Christo, the installation artist, always had community meetings before installing his large outdoor works, and that's especially in this situation can be, I can imagine, being very affecting. But, you know, I never hear on KLW or KQED any of the opposing voices, some people who are intelligent and thoughtful. And I'm sure there are many people who are not just reactionary who have opposing voices. And I'm wondering, how are we going to invite those people into the conversation if, you know, the point of all this is to increase dialogue, awareness, and mutual respect? Unless we're willing to exercise the last of the four freedoms, freedom from fear, and actually, you know, wade into those very troubling waters, where are we going to go with all this?
Lee, can I ask you, when you say opposing voices, what voices would you like to hear specifically?
Well, like people who are extremely racist, and who, you know, and who are in favor of reducing, you know, social welfare programs, and people like that who have very different points of view than those that I believe in, and that people I'm surrounded by here believe in. So, and climate change opponents. And I know they have their own, I guess, channels of expression, but I don't ever hear them, you know, openly engaged.
Well, I definitely hear them on NPR shows constantly. The problem... Oh, yeah.
I guess I'm not listening to the right one.
Well, Morning Edition, All Things Considered, I hear them on there all the time. The problem with bringing them on a show like this is it just gets hijacked. It's right. They'll say something reactionary, yeah. And everybody calls in and wants to fight with them. And, you know, I'm all for dialogue, but I just don't... Those reactionary comments, that's difficult. I mean... You need an hour, really, to talk with people. You can't get it in a soundbite, and that's the problem with so much of our media. But I wonder what you all think about this. Lisa.
Well, this is the...
We all have something.
Lisa, go ahead, and then I'll come to you, Wyatt.
I think that's why it's so important to have places for conversation, and the beauty of art is that it can be provocative, similar to what Wyatt did with the billboard. That piece then is a platform, a staging for the conversation to happen from both sides. But if you just bring in two sides sitting here at the table to have that conversation, I think you're exactly right. It will get hijacked. So to have something specific, especially art, I think has that ability to be provocative and tell the stories. We did a play really quickly by Peter Nochtrie called The Totalitarians. You can imagine what it was about. Mm-hmm. And it was a satire. It was dark. It was funny. And now that I look at that play, and we did it in 2015, I believe, everything about that play is true. And I think if I watched it right now, it would be so frightening to actually see. And maybe the satire and the dark politics of what we thought were funny at that moment wouldn't be so funny because the truth is there. But I do think that art has the ability to spark the conversations in a civil, decent way.
Wyatt?
I mean, I completely agree. And that's why it's so needed right now. And at the same time, I wonder the same thing as the caller. You know, I mean, it's so important for artists to be involved right now in all the different forms. But yeah, how do we more actively reach other people that maybe are not into art, who are not going to come to our plays or our exhibitions? You know, how do we create conversations that are not reactionary? And that's what's really on my mind these days.
I would relate. When I entered the 100 Days Action group, from a personal perspective, that was my greatest concern. And one of the biggest reasons why I stopped contributing and participating in the art world, because it felt very much like an echo chamber. Mm. And I wasn't interacting as much with the community based sort of activism work that I was accustomed to. And I would try to bring them in with work and through education, through my students. But it wasn't quite enough. And I know for me, those conversations also take a long time. You said an hour, but you know, it's longer. Mm-hmm. It's years. My brother and my father both voted for Trump. And the morning after, on my drive down to San Mateo for work, I called my father. And the only thing I said in the conversation was, "Dad, what is our future under a Trump administration in your mind?" I just said, "What is it?" And my father's a very intelligent man and has lots of great ideas. I don't agree with a lot of what he says, but for 45 minutes, I listened to him. Yeah. And I was, because he knew for years we've battled, right? And my brother too. And, you know, he said some horrible Islamophobic comments when I was there visiting over a December holiday, you know, and I had to go in the room and take a breath and go back out and just say, "If of all of the things you're going to say, I'm not going to argue with you, but you can't make a statement like that. And here's why. And this is my family. And we're going to be together for the rest of my life, but whoever, you know, as long as I can imagine." And that's it, it's an effort in endurance, and it's it's practice. We have to just keep practicing. And that letter writing project is one example of the things that I think at 100 Days Action we're trying to highlight, that you have to engage more than once. You can't run away. We're here together. If we want to have a unified nation, we need to work on the ground in our local communities and reach out.
Do you feel like your brother and your father are trying to understand you as much as you're trying to understand them?
In their own way, yes, because we love each other. Mm-hmm. And it's family. So even though they shut down and I shut down and long stretches of time go by that we don't speak on the phone, and I don't tell them necessarily what I'm doing. If I'm excited about it, I don't think they'll be excited about it. There's certain things I just don't share. I'll share with my mom. And there are other places that I have community, you know.
I love the action. Oh, go ahead, Wyatt.
Well, the question about are they trying to understand as much as you are, I think, is interesting because, you know, we in order to spark or inspire what we want, we have to do it first. And so I think it was Katina saying that she just listened to her father. Mm-hmm. Is amazing. Whether he's going to listen to her or not is kind of irrelevant in terms of whether she should listen to him. So I think that we have to, if we want to make a change, we have to step up and do it first, regardless if who we consider as the other is going to do it or not. You know, we have to listen, and by us listening, we are going to inspire them and activate them to listen to us in return. It might not happen right away, but it will happen.
100 Days Action has an event taking place today, an action taking place today. It's a pen pal project connecting people across the political spectrum. And to participate, you must commit to correspond in writing, right? Not email, but writing 3 times with someone who feels differently about Donald Trump than you do. How did you find people to take part in this?
It was slow going at first. I think we did the best we could to network within our community. And I was always that person saying, we're in the echo chamber. We keep asking our friends. But that's how we started. And then it rippled out and we've interacted. And something really beautiful actually happened in that one of my students he wasn't an actual student in my class, but he was a student at the high school that I taught at in Amherst, Massachusetts, submitted something from the East Coast, and he's got this great national project that he's doing. So the worlds are colliding in a beautiful way. We put calls out and calls for submissions, and folks slowly submitted. We have an amazing social team who just is incredible with marketing. We have designers who have made, you know, strong brands, branding for us. Speaking of advertising, like Wyatt was talking about, I think we've tried to leverage all of those things to make 100 Days Action as visible as possible. And I think local galleries also have seen what we're trying to do and believe in our efforts and have in their own way, galleries and museums and other institutions, figuring out how they can support us. We were at Royal Nonsuch Gallery in Oakland. Southern Exposure Gallery had us in residency, and now we've moved to Yerba Buena Center for the Arts. There's an awareness of the importance of supporting this work and helping to amplify our voice so that we might amplify the voices of others.
And if you'd like to take part in this, you need to email today 100days.3lam@gmail.com. It's 100days.3lam@gmail.com. And then you wait for directions. Mm-hmm. And do you just give your name? And
well, I'm needing a reminder because we have so many. I think we've published over 100 actions. Lai Yi Olson, we've been talking about your work, and this is the artist that that has created this action that we have featured today.
Great, and we have information about it at yourcallradio.org. We have just a couple of minutes left. Paul, we don't have time to take your call, but Paul in Redwood City wants to know, where are the musicians who are organizing and writing protest songs for today?
I think it's great you bring that up, Paul. I think we're going to see a lot of art in the next 6 months that is about the time we're living in right now. And some of the difficulty with theaters, it takes a long time to develop and write it. So I think in 4 years, you're going to see incredible amount of political theater coming out of the country, of this country. I think musicians are doing it. I think they're doing it in a lot of different places. I can't necessarily speak to that per se, but I think we'll see some more Woody Guthries, hopefully.
Yeah. Well, we're going to add this to our list, Paul. I'd love to do a show about musicians and politics, so thank you for that question. Final thoughts from all of you about the work that you do, artists, organizing. I love that you say we're going to see a lot of new work over the next 4 years.
I think it's going to be a wild time as far as the art is concerned. I think, you know, when we go through these times, that it really is, it's the embers of to the fire that's going to happen. And I think we're going to see it in visual arts, music, theater, music, dance. I think across the boards we're going to see some pretty amazing things happen that are shining the light on the times that we live in. And then the last thing, the idea of, you know, when we brought up earlier the idea of sanctuary. A sanctuary is a space for us to, a safe space to have these conversations. But if we're truly a sanctuary and not hypocrites, the door has to open for everybody. And we have to go out there, to Wyatt's point and to the woman caller earlier, we have to seek people who want to have those conversations in a civil way with us that don't have the same views that we have. And that's hopefully how we're slowly going to change the conversation in this country, and also to Katina's point of with her parents. I mean, a lot of us are living, have families that don't agree with the same politics that we have, and it's those conversations around a table, because you know it's filled with love, hopefully, that we can start slowly deconstructing the hate that's out there.
Well, that could be another show. And in fact, if you are in a family and you have lots of different views and you'd like to maybe join us, I think that would be a great show. You can email feedback@yourcallradio.org. And Wyatt, final thoughts from you?
That's a great show, by the way.
That is a great show.
And I love these projects. I feel like the writing of the letters could really be a huge project on its own. I think that's just brilliant. Well, let's see. You know, we're going to launch a immersive workshop soon called Art and Activism, How to Launch Your Movement. So for anyone that is interested in getting involved and they don't know how, this will be a workshop that kind of gives you the first steps and coaches you to discover in yourself, like, what matters to you and how you can get involved right now.
Great.
So people can check our website or email us, info@fourfreedoms.org.
All right, great. And Katina, final thoughts.
Nice. There are opportunities to come together at YBCA through 100 Days Action, but we're also going to be collaborating with Gray Area Foundation Saturday, April 29th, at the end of our 100 Days stretch. Doors at 9:30, 10 p.m. is when the event begins, and it's called the 100 Days No Band Dance Party. We'll be featuring seven DJs and visual artists from the seven country travel ban that was put out by He Who Shall Not Be Named. And I also just wanted to say what inspires me right now and gives me a sense of hope and optimism is a West African proverb. I think it's West Africa. When you pray, move your feet. Mm-hmm. And John Lewis has it Congressman John Lewis has it in all of his books. And it reminds me of love, too. We have to love everyone else and hold their feet to the fire at the same time.
Yes, very important. Katina Papson-Rigby is with 100 Days Action. Lisa Steinler is Executive Artistic Director of Z-Space. Check out the Town Hall Affair. It runs from April 6th to 16th. And Wyatt Gallery is Executive Director of Four Freedoms. He's also a photographer who does incredible work. Lisa, Katina, and Wyatt, thank you all for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And you can find their work at yourcallradio.org. Coming up tomorrow, it's our media roundtable. This week, Donald Trump met with and praised Egypt's President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi. He's being condemned for detaining tens of thousands of activists and journalists. We'll also talk about new reports about life in coal country and dismal working conditions at auto parts plants in the South. Your Call is produced here at KALW. Laura Flynn produced today's show. Stephanie Porcella is our intern. David LaTulipe is our studio engineer. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's Your Call. Thank you for joining us.